All right, how's everyone doing today? Well, you're all awake, that's wonderful. Who here has a farm, has a garden, goes to markets? Okay, so I'm preaching to the choir. Cool. So everything I'm telling you, you guys already know. This is just a refresher course. This is wonderful. All right, so for audioverse purposes, I'm going to ask you if you have questions, please hold them until the end of the presentation. I'll answer your questions then. So my name is Seth Schaefer. My family and I, we have a farm up in near Cleveland, Tennessee. We're a market farm. We go four seasons out of the year, and we have a lot of different produce and vegetables that we take to market based on the seasons. On the screen behind me, you can see some of summer slash early fall's bounty out on the table. And what you're seeing on the table, the quality of the produce, that's what you want to take to market. It's shiny, it's vibrant in color, there's no wrinkles, it looks edible, it looks good, and it's appealing to the eye. You know, there's a lot of colors out on the table, and that, when you're producing a market stand, when you're putting the crops on the table, you want it to be appealing to people. You want to catch people's eye, draw them in, and that's not going to happen if your produce looks like it's halfway to the compost pile. People will pass you by. They may give you a pathetic look. That's not a good feeling. When you see your neighbor farmers selling tons of produce that looks really good. So today we're going to cover some topics. We're going to cover the topic of how to make sure that your produce, when you harvest it to the time you get it to your market table, it maintains its freshness, its appeal to your customers and yourself. So this photo here, these are all freshly harvested fruits and vegetables. So how do we go from produce looking like this to maintaining its look by the time we get to the market table? Timing, coolness, and dryness. Those are going to be your top three objectives as far as your produce is concerned for this topic. So you spend a lot of time preparing the soil, planting your seed, transplanting, weeding, trellising, battling disease, insects, etc. And you get to the point where you're able to harvest your crops. That's wonderful. You've already gone through a long stretch of time, and now it's time to get it to the market table. So timing. It's kind of cloudy today. So on a day like today, with a cooler temperature, you can ignore part of what's on this slide. You can go out there in the morning, the evening, at night. You can go out there in the middle of the day, middle of the afternoon. It doesn't matter. You can go out there and harvest any of your crops, and you're going to be able to maintain a certain level of freshness. Now, if we're talking in a few months from now, when... at least if we're talking here in the South, it starts to get warmer. You know, April, May, June, July, August. Those are usually considered the dog days of summer, the later months. I don't know about you, but usually when it's 80, 90, maybe even pushing 100 degrees outside, what's happening to you?
Wilting.
You're wilting. You're sweating. You're hot. You're maybe exhausted from a bunch of work you did previously, and you're not feeling your best. Well, the same thing is true with your plants. If you go out there first thing in the morning, hopefully you've had a good night's sleep, you're fired up, you're ready to take on the day. Same thing with your plants. Usually first thing in the morning, it's usually not a blazing 100 degrees. You're maybe hitting 60, 70, maybe 75 on some of the hottest days of the summer. But your plants can take that. They can take a little bit of stress. Humans can take a little bit of stress. It's the acute stress that none of us can handle for a sustained period of time. So when you harvest at the edges of the day or at night, your produce, it's good. It's gotten its nutrients, it's gotten its water intake that it needs, and it can sustain being removed from its parent plant and then move to a cool room or whatnot. Before you go out to harvest, you want to think, what do I need to harvest? How much do I need to harvest? And in what order should I harvest it? Oh, I am standing right in front of the thing, aren't I? How's that? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So have a game plan. Think about your timing and think about how long it's going to take you to harvest certain crops. If you have a market that afternoon and you know, okay, so the temperature today is going to be getting up to 80 degrees, start with your, I'm forgetting the word, fragilist crops. So start with your lettuces, start with your salad greens, start with your kale, your arugula, stuff like that, and get that harvested. And as soon as you harvest it, get it into the cool room. Worst case scenario, if you don't have a cool room, move it into the shade. Take it inside your house, turn the AC on, and put it over an AC vent. I did that for several years when I first started farming because I didn't have a cool room. It's a little bit weird when I had people over to the house, seeing all the vents covered up with produce, but it worked. So, you know, you do what you have to do. But as soon as you harvest your crops, get it into a cool area. That is probably the best thing you can do to preserve that freshness. And as we get on into the presentation, we'll be talking about just how much you can preserve that freshness for how long. Now, if you have a CSA or you have a restaurant order, you've already got a predetermined amount of produce that you need to harvest. And so in those cases, it's a little bit simpler than a market harvest because you know, okay, I just need 20 pounds of kale. That's easy. The arugula, you know, with a quick cut green harvest, you can go out there, you can harvest your salad greens really quick and then go ahead and clean them, give them an ice bath if needed, and then get them ready for market. Now, a lot of times when we go to markets, we may not know how much produce is going to sell. You know, I may be able to sell 100 bunches of carrots today. Next week, I sell 20. Well, shoot, I've got, 80 bunches of carrots left. What am I going to do with them? Well, get them back into the cool room as quickly as possible. And that'll probably preserve them for the next market or find another market the next day that you could sell it to. Contact restaurants, contact caterers, chefs, find out, you know, can you move this produce sooner rather than later? And chop the tops off. Yes, we'll be getting to that here shortly. All right. So on this this screen here, we've got a number of different images. What is the same about all these different images? It's the time of day. All of these are taken in the evening, either the golden hour. I'm a photographer, so I badger my farmer friends. Let me come out, let me get photos and whatnot. And the best time of day to take photos is on the golden hour, whether it's the morning, whether it's the evening. Coincidentally, the same thing is true for harvesting your crops. You don't have direct sunlight beating down on the crops. The temperature usually has gone down by the time you reach the golden hour or shortly after it. So it's more pleasant for you and it's more pleasant for the crops. All right, so I've already talked about the okra, the summer squash, you know, basically not specifically those crops in general, but crops in general, get them into a cool place. There's other topics going on here at AdAgra covering microgreens, so I'm not going to focus a lot of time on that. But if you do have microgreens, some of the ways to preserve that freshness would be to grow your microgreens in a 5x5 little tray. It already has the dirt there. You're doing no cutting of them. Just take that tray to market and sell them soil, microgreens, everything. And then the customer can cut the microgreens themselves. You can cut the microgreens ahead of time, usually the night before, you get up really early, you can cut it the morning of, and then put them in a clamshell container and then put them in your refrigerator. Once you get to market, in order to hold that freshness, you will want to put your microgreens on ice. So basically, I get ice blocks, put them in the bottom of a basket or a container. I'll put down a layer of newspaper on top of those ice blocks and then put my containers of microgreens on top of that. That maintains their freshness really well throughout the market, regardless of whether it's 30 degrees outside or 85, 90. All right, so with your salad greens, especially, these are really critical. You want to harvest them early morning, evening, night. I keep repeating this because this is a very important point. Worst case scenario, yes, go ahead, harvest it, you know, whenever you need to. Things happen in the farming world. Stuff comes up, you don't get everything harvested when you want to, need to. So, you know, if you're harvesting as it gets a little bit warmer during the day, go ahead and harvest them, get them into the shade, and give them an ice bath. Generally speaking, for head lettuce, you know, I'll just get an empty trough, fill it up with water, maybe I'll put some ice in it. Make sure the water's cool. Don't put hot water in there. And just go ahead and dunk them in there, swirl the water around, leave them in there for a few minutes, let them release that field heat, and then I pull them out, and you can do it on a table. Generally speaking, I like to do it on like a screened table so the water can drip off of it. You want to remove as much water as you can after you have given them an ice bath. And then I just let them air dry for a few minutes, and then I pack them away in a crate, a box, and then off to market we go, or into the cool room, depending on the situation at hand. You can use a salad spinner to dry the salad greens, like baby salad mix lettuce, arugula, mizuna, etc. We are in the winter, so I'm assuming most of you guys felt a little bit of a cold front. Either earlier this week or maybe even last week. I learned this the hard way. Don't harvest anything, especially greens, if there's frost on them. They may look all perky and upright, and it's a solid greenery. Hey, that's wonderful. But as soon as that ice begins to melt, your plant will melt with it if you've harvested it. Sometimes even as the ice or the whatever is on it starts to melt off, your plant will start to look a little bit wilty, especially during the early morning hours, maybe even mid-morning. That's okay. Ignore that. Leave the plant alone. Usually by lunchtime, at least for me in Tennessee, my plants are back to being hard, stocky individuals out there in my field, and I can go out there and harvest the greens with no fear of them wilting because I harvested them too soon with frost still on them. If you know that a frost is coming, go ahead and harvest the day before, the evening before. Play around with your timetables a little bit. Okay, so with harvesting greens, for me, the greens are one of the longest time-consuming products to harvest out in my farm. So I want to make things as simple and easy as I can for myself. So the way I do that is I go ahead and I think, okay, so I need 40 head of lettuce. Well, it's a head lettuce. So you just go out there with a knife, chop them off, toss them in a wheelbarrow, a bucket, whatever. Okay, my lettuce is harvested. Then I start going for my collards, my Swiss chard, kale. Go ahead and I bunch them. As I'm going down the row, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to put 10 stems in a bunch. I will, depending on how I'm doing it, sometimes I'll have bags that I'll put them in, or I'll just have a armful of rubber bands. And so once I have 10 stems in my bunch, I just pull off a rubber band, wrap it, toss it into a basket or whatnot, and just keep on going. For all of your crops, but especially the greens, as we move into the spring, the summer months, wait until the dew is off of them, especially with some of your salad mixes and whatnot. You don't want the stuff to stick together, because inevitably, I'll tell you what happens, you'll run out of time. You won't be able to wash everything, dry everything like it should be, and you'll end up with wet greens that go into a bag, a box, however you decide to sell them. And then you can start the process of decay sooner rather than later. But generally speaking, if properly stored, you harvest early, they're dry, you put them in a cool room as quickly as possible, your greens can last about 5 to 7 days post-harvest. Now, obviously, with any type of crop, but especially greens, you don't want to hang on to them. You want to sell them, you want to move them, get them out of your ownership as quickly as possible. Okay, root crops. For this part of the presentation, root crops are carrots, they're beets, they're radishes, turnips, parsnips. Now, generally speaking, as was mentioned earlier, if I'm a customer and I go to market and I see radishes with the greens on them and they look really nice, I see a bunch of carrots with some vibrant green heads attached to them, for lack of a better term, I'm drawn to that. That looks good. It looks healthy. It looks vibrant. I want that. You know, maybe I can turn the greens into carrot pesto. Maybe I can put the carrots into my soup. But if I see firm, good-looking carrots, I'm drawn to that. I'm drawn to good-looking beets. Now, as we get out of the cooler months, the greens can start to be a little bit of a problem. You know, maybe you have pests on your farm, little bugs, whatever, rabbits, heaven forbid, that come along and is like, oh, those greens look really nice. I need breakfast, so there you go. Now half your greens are gone. Just go ahead and chop the rest of the greens off. Maybe leave a little bit of the stem on there if we're talking carrots or beets, so it provides a little bit of a handle. But it's not going to be that big of an issue if you have to chop the greens off. Now, some of the time when you go to market, you do not sell all of your crops. Everybody wishes they could go to market and sell out completely and come home with an empty truck or trailer. Doesn't always happen. All of our crops are alive. Obviously, they're growing. We harvest them, hopefully at peak ripeness. But especially if we're dealing with root crops like this, the root is still trying to live after you've harvested it. What do the greens have? They have water. They have life in them from the sun. And so that root begins to draw its energy from those greens. And so sooner rather than later, usually, your greens start to look really wilted. They look kind of sad. So if you know, okay, I have 20 bunches of carrots after this market is over, my next market is on Wednesday, it's Monday, just go ahead and do yourself a favor, chop off those greens now. Don't wait until right before the next market. It preserves the freshness for the root, and it also saves you time later on. When dealing with root crops, especially if you're going out into the field and harvesting, if you have a lot of roots to harvest, smaller boxes, smaller packaging is better. Root crops, I can guarantee you, are heavy, especially when you start filling up big crates, and you don't want to take your back out before market. Usually the storage time for root crops is about 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes you can fudge a little bit and extend that. Sometimes it becomes a little shorter just due to a variety of different situations. So for me, with root crops, I harvest them. I take them to a wash station. Again, I like to have my screened table, and I just go ahead and turn a hose on them, wash off all the dirt on them, and then I just let them sit there for maybe 10, 15 minutes. Let them air dry, let them drip dry, and then I will bunch them up, toss them in a crate, head to market. Or if I'm doing this the night before, I will do all of that, put them in the crate, and then I'll put them in the cool room, and just let them sit there, continue cooling off as the evening progresses. Okay, onions, garlic, and leeks. So, all three of these, but specifically onions and garlic, are some of my favorite crops to grow. They're easy. I get my onion and my leek starts from Dixondale. They're in Texas. They send you the plant starts, and then all you have to do is just go ahead and poke holes in your dirt, drop the plant starts into the holes, and you're off to the races. Yes, Dixondale, all one word.
Is that a company or a
that,
town?
That is the name of the farm.
The name of the farm.
I've had really good luck with these onions and the leeks. They do shallots as well. So obviously, you're going to end up with a good product if you start with a good product. So that's something to always keep in mind, whether you're seeding, whether you're transplanting, whether you're buying your starts from somebody. Keep that in mind. So let's say it's raining right now, and I have market in 3 hours. Now is not the time when I want to be out there harvesting anything, but especially my garlic and my leeks and my onions, because they always seem to have the dirt cling to them. So harvest them when it's dry. And with these crops especially, if we're talking about garlic, if we're talking about bulb onions, you can harvest tons of them at one time and let them dry in a cool, dry place. And, you know, they're going to be just as good 3 weeks from now as they are today. A lot of times, as we can tell from the photo, people are attracted to spring onions, green onions, young onions when they have the greens attached. You can utilize the greens in your cooking or whatnot. So that's a really good attraction. Now, if your greens are starting to turn yellow, if they're starting to wilt, cut them off. It's better for the customer to get, let's say, for example, on these green onions, a 4-inch onion bunch instead of just a large bunch that doesn't look good and that they're going to have to throw away half that bunch anyway. With onions that have their tops on them, they will usually last about a week or so kept in cold storage with their greens looking good. After that point, you want to start chopping them off to save yourself time later on. Now, when we're talking about harvesting bulb onions, now for me, I harvest onions all the way through their life cycle, from little green onions to big bulbs. Now, onions, for me, generally take about 3 months to grow. I'm planting onions the week of Valentine's Day, and I'm usually starting to harvest early April on through the end of the season, which for me is usually June-ish, usually the middle to beginning of June. Now, as your onions continue to grow, you're going to see your bulbs getting bigger and bigger, hopefully. You want to keep an eye on the tops, all those greens, because if you start to see the greens starting to fold over, bend over, fall over, you need to harvest those bulb onions ASAP. If you wait, it's like, oh, I'll come back to that later, and all your tops have fallen over, there's a reason for that. Your onion knows, okay, my time to grow is done. The greeny part of your onion, it has started to decay. That decay is not going to stay just there on your tops. It's going to go down into your onion. If you've ever taken an onion fresh out of the field that still has greens attached, you'll notice that the greens, they are attached to the different layers of the onion. And so that rot will go down into your onion. So you'll want to harvest that, chop off the greens to preserve the actual onion. And if it's going to rain, definitely hurry up, get out there, harvest them, do what you need to do. All right. Okay, so with garlic. Garlic is another super easy crop to grow, to harvest, and generally speaking, to sell. It doesn't matter what time of the year you're selling it, people always want garlic for their dishes. Now, with garlic, some of you are probably aware you have two different types. You have hard-net garlic and you have soft-net garlic. Now, when I'm talking about the scapes here, if you have soft-net garlic, you can tune me out for a few minutes because your soft-net garlic does not have scapes. Now, hard-net garlic, the scape is basically the flower of the garlic. So, generally speaking, for my area in Tennessee, May to June is when the scapes are going to start coming up. And that basically is a nice sturdy stem that's coming up directly up the center of the garlic stalk. And you're going to see a nice little pointed end to that. I'll wait a few days after I see them starting to develop on the garlic, and then I'll harvest them. The garlic scapes, the flowers of the garlic are edible. They have a decent shelf life, generally about a week to 2 weeks, as long as you harvest them when they're young, tender, and fresh.
I heard it's before they open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Young, tender, and fresh. If you wait and you let your garlic scapes stay on the garlic, not only will you have a smaller garlic bulb because energy has transitioned from production of food to reproduction. Now, if you, for whatever reason, you want garlic flowers, go for it. That's a wonderful thing. But for the most part, people want big garlic bulbs. So as soon as you pull off those garlic scapes, the energy reverts back to growing a large garlic bulb. Now, the scapes, they're good for market sales as well. Don't pitch them into the compost pile. They have a mild garlic flavor, so people will usually add those to stir fries, soups, sandwiches, etc., pestos, if they don't have garlic. It's a good substitute for it and a good precursor to it as well. Now, you can harvest green garlic ahead of schedule, by all means. Just make sure it's clean when you take it to market. With any of these root crops, generally speaking, like I said at the first slide, people are going to be attracted to a visually nice-looking booth. If your produce, especially if your root crops have dirt on them or whatnot, people just, they're not going to buy from you. They'll go to your neighbor. Now, for garlic, you can sell it fresh, but most of the time we're getting it after it's been dried, cured. So after you harvest it, take it into a high tunnel, a greenhouse that you're not using, maybe put it under a pole barn, and let it set there. Spread it out, let it dry. Now, if you're doing it in a high tunnel or a greenhouse where you have sun beating down on it, especially here in the south, keep your eye on it. You can maybe only need to be in there for a day, maybe half a week. If you leave it in there longer than that, it really starts to get too dry. Once it's been dried, just go ahead, chop the roots off, chop the stem down. As you can see in the picture here, these don't have much of a stem. Some people will leave maybe 2 to 3 inches of stem on there and then be able to bunch them together, maybe a bunch of three, a bunch of five, and then sell them that way at market. Or you can sell it by the pound or the quart, you know, however you want to sell it. Generally speaking, garlic, once it's been cured, dried, you know, it looks like what's in the picture there. It'll last you probably about 6 months. Okay, so in these photos here, this is demonstrating an onion harvest. I'm a visual learner, so I like to add pictures whenever possible. So at this farm here, my friends called me out and they said, "Hey, we got onions to harvest." I was like, "No kidding." So we go out there, tractor, trailer. And we each took a row and we started harvesting. I don't remember the exact length of the trailer, but I know it's a big trailer. And so we spent all evening kind of racing each other down the rows trying to harvest as many onions as we could. You know, if you got a job to do, make it fun. So we harvested them all. We stacked them in rows on the trailer. As you can tell, it's dry. They're fairly clean. You don't have to worry too much about washing bulb onions as soon as harvest happens. And then we drove the trailer into an open greenhouse. And we forgot about them for a couple weeks. Now, I say forgot, not in the literal sense. We left them there to dry. As you can tell, the photo in the middle, the onion tops are green. The photo on the right side, the greens are now brown. They're dried up. That's exactly what you want. Now, in this photo over here, you can tell that the dried greens are being cut or have been cut off. You can tell we've left like maybe an inch and a half of stem on the onions. And that's about what you want to leave. If you leave more, it kind of gets in the way. If you leave less than that, It starts to expose the onion bulb itself, and then you can start to have disease or rot set in. So you want to make sure that your onions have a little bit of armor on them during that drying slash storage process. We found out very quickly that onions are heavy. It took at least two of us to move each one of these crates, and then we started halving the crates. So we'd put half the amount in there. Also, so we could stack the crates. And so we took the crates and put them in the cool room, stacked them up. And yeah, they were selling onions the better part of that year. Generally speaking, this is June. Generally about the time Thanksgiving rolls around, we're running out of onions. So a decent shelf life, if you will. But yeah, as you can tell here, sometimes with the harvest of crops, it's a multi-step process. It's not just go out there, harvest the crop, and then sell it. No, there's sometimes some other things that need to be done to the crops. All right, taters and sweet taters. So with these crops here, we're going to go ahead and ignore some of what we've learned about for other root crops. There's a reason I kept these separate from the other types of root crops, your carrots and whatnot. So once again, try to make sure the conditions are dry when you start to harvest. Sometimes, well, all the time, we can't control the weather, but sometimes we can't help but harvest when it's wet. If you have to harvest these types of roots when they're wet, go ahead, harvest them, and then spread them out somewhere to air dry. You want to get off as much moisture as you can as quickly as you can. If there's any rotten roots, dispose of them sooner rather than later. That rot will spread. After you have harvested, you know, as soon as they're coming out of the field, unless you have an immediate sale for these roots, don't bother washing them and making them look all pretty. Leave a little bit of dirt on them. As long as it's dry, just go ahead, stick them in crates, stick them in the cool room, pull them out. When you have a market or you have a sale, go ahead and wash them off, make them look pretty, and then sell them. Especially this time of year, taters and sweet taters are selling very well at market. People tend to like to still eat with the seasons, especially if you've educated them on that. And during the winter months, people like to eat a lot of root crops. So sometimes doing late plantings of potatoes or whatnot can yield you harvest just before fall or whatnot, and you can have excess potatoes during the fall and winter. And it is important if you find rot happening in your crates of stored potatoes, sweet taters, whatever, make sure you remove the offending tuber and then clean the tubers that it was touching. Otherwise, your rot will just continue spreading throughout your entire crate. And definitely don't store wet tubers in a cool room. Cold, dark, wet is not your friend. All right, so touching for a few seconds on ginger and turmeric. Ginger and turmeric are they're two very easy crops to grow, but they do take a lot of time. Generally speaking, we're talking like 6 to 7 months to mature, sometimes even longer. Now, if you're down here in Florida, you probably have more time than us up north. Yeah, that's just something to keep in mind if you're going to be growing these two crops. But for these two crops, I do not stick them in a cool room or a walk-in fridge, freezer, etc. These crops here, they like to be kept a little bit warmer. So generally speaking, when I go out in the fall, generally it's about the time that I'm getting my first frost, maybe a little bit after my first frost. The leaves, the stalks of the plants, you know, they're starting to turn yellow or brown, depending on your frost or your length of time that they've been growing. So I go ahead and harvest them, pull them out of the ground, and I go ahead and wash these roots immediately. I clean them up, and then I stick them after they've air dried. Now with the roots, potatoes, sweet potatoes, ginger, turmeric, they're not like your greens that are going to start wilting or shriveling up if they've been left exposed to just air and sunlight for a little bit of time. So I let them air dry, and then I package them, stick them in a crate or a cardboard box, and I bring them inside the house. And I try to put them in a cooler area of the house. You know, I don't stick them in the sunroom. And generally speaking, I mean, the longevity of the harvested crops is pretty long, you know, at least several months. And so then I just start pulling from those crates and taking to market what I need. Generally speaking, I sell it by the pound, and it sells very well, especially in the fall and winter of the years people are making fire ciders. So yeah, not a lot to talk about this crop here. It's like I said, it's very simple, very easy.
How long does it take to grow it?
6 to 7 months. So generally speaking, I'm trying to get them potted, maybe like March. I'm going to try to get some growth happening in the pots before I either plant them into a high tunnel, a greenhouse, or outside. I want to try to have some growth happening before then.
How do you get that in greenhouse?
Yeah, or a high tunnel. Yeah. Okay, summer produce. So much like what we were talking about with your greens, you want to harvest and then get them into a cool room, cool trailer as quickly as possible. I have a friend of mine. He started showing up to market this last year pulling a trailer. And usually he just showed up with his pickup truck. I was like, "You bring that much more stuff to market?" He's like, "No, everything I brought to market today is in my trailer." And he opens it up, and it was like I was walking into a freezer. I was like, "What'd you do?" And he's like, "Well, I made a cool trailer." Basically, he took a window AC unit, he cut a hole in the front side of the trailer, he mounted the window AC unit in there. You can attach a cool bot. I tried to get the information from him ahead of time, but he didn't respond in time. He has something other than a cool bot monitoring the AC turn off, turn on, and coolness in there. And then he has what I'm going to term a small portable generator that he got from Walmart. And so what he does is he'll take his truck and trailer out into the field, park it. He has his AC running, and every basket, every box of crops that he harvests, as soon as it's full, it goes immediately into that truck, or immediately goes into the trailer. And then when he's done harvesting, he'll then either, he has the opportunity to leave it in there and just have the generator running, and then he just drives to market, or he can just leave that mobile cool room set up and then hook up his truck to it and drive it to market at a later date. But he was showing me, this was the end of July this last year, he pulled out a box of summer squash. He was restocking his table. He's like, "Feel that." And I feel it. I mean, it's a summer squash. It's yellow. It's hard. It's shiny. Looks good. He says, "Take a guess when I harvested that." I was like, "Yesterday? Last week?" "End of June." I was like, "Okay. You've caught my interest now." So, coolness. For me, generally speaking, I don't have squash that lasts a month that still looks nice and edible. So that was something I picked up last year, and I'm hoping to implement this coming year. You know, with tomatoes, with peppers, with eggplant, all of these crops here, they have a little bit of a shelf life. Again, harvest them cool. Put them in your cool room as soon as you harvest them. And with any of these crops, harvest in the morning, the evening, or at night. Now, with okra and tomatoes, when you harvest them, these two crops especially, they don't really care for super cold temperatures, especially your okra. So generally, somewhere between 40 to 55 degrees is what you want to store them in. And generally speaking, with like okra, especially in the South, it's a heavy hitter. You harvest a lot and you can sell a lot. So turnover time is usually pretty good, but make sure you're also keeping an eye on any of the stuff that you're storing, you know, especially if it's coming back from market. Make sure it's still viable for sale for the next market. Otherwise, congratulations, there's dinner. All right, winter squash, watermelons, etc. Now, we've all heard, you know, with winter squash, you want to harvest it, you want to cure it to elongate the amount of time that you have to store it. So generally speaking, if you're in a dry area around the time of year where you are, when you are harvesting your winter squashes, you can harvest them out in the field, then you can just leave them out there, generally for about 10 to 14 days. Make sure it's hot, it's warm when this is happening. You want the sun to really work the squash over. It's going to help to heal any scabs or any small cuts that the winter squash may have. And it just helps with the holding the squash together as you go into storage. Usually winter squash and whatnot, you know, we may be harvesting it. Well, it depends on when you planted it. But generally speaking, it's harvested in the fall, maybe even late fall, around the time you have your first frost. And right now I have in my cool room, I've got winter squash that I harvested earlier this year. Still viable, still selling it. So yeah, usually about 1 to 6 months, depending on the squash variety, is how long it'll last after it's been cured. Now with watermelon, obviously you don't want to go harvest your watermelon and leave them out in the field for 10 to 14 days in 80 to 90 degree heat. You will have watermelon mush. That's if the critters out there don't get to them first. For me, I wait for the watermelons to fully ripen on the vine, and then I harvest them. Sometimes it's a little iffy when I harvest, you know, is it completely ready or not? But then I just harvest them. I go ahead and stick them in bins in the cool room, and then I pull them out when it's time to sell them. You can clean them before you sell them. A lot of times, my customers, if they're cleaned, is this store-bought? But if they have a little bit of dirt on them, oh, this came from the farm. So it helps give you some credibility. Okay, edible flowers. A lot of times, your customers for edible flowers are going to be your chefs, your restaurants, maybe your caterers, and they buy them because they look pretty. It's eye-appealing. They're adding them to dishes as garnishes. Maybe they're putting them on wedding cakes, et cetera, et cetera. And so you want to make sure that they're getting a beautiful product and that that product lasts for them. You don't want it to start wilting and be mushy the first evening that they get it. But remember that you do have a short sale window for your edible flowers. Generally speaking, they don't require a lot of work. You know, you can go out there, you can create a buffer zone with wildflowers, with cosmos, sunflowers, etc. Any of those are edible. And then, you know, it adds beauty to your farm, and they're really simple and easy to harvest. So examples of some edible flowers are marigolds, cosmos, sunflowers, nasturtiums, pansy, borage, and zinnias. Now, especially with your flowers, you don't want to go out there in the middle of the afternoon and start harvesting for market. That's a bad idea. So once again, harvest evening, morning, or at night. The day before is usually a good idea, especially if you're having to harvest a lot. Give yourself room to work. For the storage of these crops, you'll want to put them in a cooler. Generally speaking, as you can tell from the photo here on the screen, I've got them in clamshells. You can put a damp paper towel at the bottom of the container and put the flowers on top. That'll help to prolong its freshness. I'll package these and then they go into the refrigerator, and generally, you know, they last in there for a couple days, and I do that especially if I am taking them to market the next day. Do all the prep work the day before. So they last for about 5 to 7 days. You can also store them in a Ziploc bag, a gallon Ziploc bag. Just go ahead, do the same thing that you would with a clamshell, with a wet paper towel in there, and you're good to go. If you just leave your flowers in a container in the open refrigerator, or you stick them in your cool room or whatnot, they will wilt fairly quickly. So don't do that. Keep them covered, keep them protected. Okay, flowers in general. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because there's been a plethora of flower seminars here. But as soon as you harvest, put them in water. Take buckets out into your field that already have water, stick them in there. Zinnias and wildflowers especially, don't bother putting them in your cool room. They don't like cold weather any way, shape, or form. Your sunflowers, your snapdragons, yeah, sure, you can put them in your cool room. They'll do just fine in there. For the wildflowers, the zinnias, I will just store them in my house. Generally speaking, you know, I try to put them in a cooler room of the house, in water, and especially, you know, I'm harvesting night before, maybe even day of, before they go to market. So they're very, very fresh once they get to market. Do yourself a favor, especially if you have time when you're harvesting, to strip off any extra greenery that's with your flowers. Saves time at market, and it also saves some of the water that's inside the stem from going to the extra greenery. Fresh cut flowers, I've had customers tell me they've lasted about a week, sometimes even up to 2 weeks, especially if we're talking about the sunflowers or whatnot. So the fresher you can get them to market, the better. Okay, so some last comments here. When you're at market, think about your booth setup. Think about the temperature it's going to be. Think about the direction that the sun is going to be hitting. We go to a couple different markets. One of them is inside a pavilion, so I don't have to worry about where the sun's hitting, because generally speaking, it's not hitting my table. If it is hitting your table, you know, put up a canopy. If you're outside, think about, okay, so the Earth's rotation is going to cause the sun to move around my booth more than likely. So maybe put up a side wall to your tent or whatnot to help give a little bit of shade to the produce that's out there. Now, generally speaking, if it's cold outside, I don't have to worry about the sun or whatnot, because generally in Tennessee, winters are cold. And the cold air, the cold temperatures, you know, it all helps to keep my produce at a fresh, it just helps it keep, I can't talk. It helps the produce look fresh and good throughout the entire market time. Now, as it begins to heat up, especially with your greens, you're going to want to take steps to ensure their freshness throughout the market. So if it's greens, you know, maybe take a spray bottle or a sprayer, spritz them with water throughout the market time. I have taken flower buckets, and I've taken my bunched up kale collard Swiss chard, and I've stuck them in the flower buckets, so it looks like a bouquet, quote unquote. And then I just pull out a bunch of kale from there and then replace it with one that's been kept in the cooler. So that way people can always see what's on my table and they don't think I've run out of a certain crop and go buy from my competition. You can take small tubs to market. You can fill them with water, ice water, or just plain ice. If it's hot enough, the ice is immediately going to start melting, so you're going to have ice water eventually. And you can put your greens in there, your head lettuce, your bags with salad mix and whatnot in there, and it's going to maintain freshness. Now, obviously, if you have a bag that's been sitting there the entire market and it's 90 degrees outside, it's not going to look the best by the end of market if it hasn't sold. But for shorter periods of time, it works pretty decently to keep things looking good. Okay, these are just some resources if you're interested. But as my last closing thought, I just wanted to mention sometimes your customers are going to come to you and they're going to say, okay, so I'm going to buy this head of lettuce, this Napa cabbage, whatever it is. I'm not going to use it immediately. How do I keep it fresh once I get home? Okay, so you're going to want to put greens especially in your crisper boxes. Sometimes, you know, put them in a bag and put them down there. It's more protection for the greens, and it'll help keep them looking nice. I have had people come to me a couple weeks after they've bought a gigantic head of lettuce, and they've said, hey, I bought lettuce from you a few weeks back. And I was like, oh, boy, you're about to jump on me because it didn't last as long in your fridge or whatnot. You didn't store it properly. The lady's like, I still have that lettuce, and it looks perfect. Mm. I was like, okay, what'd you do? She's like, well, I forgot about it for 2 weeks. I was like, oh, boy. And she says, it was in my crisper box. I pulled it out of there. I gave it an ice bath. I filled up a stainless steel bowl, put ice in it, water, dunked it in there, left it in there for a little bit of time, and it came right back to looking like it just came out of your field, like when I bought it. Well, I didn't need it right then, so I stuck it back in the crisper box. I forgot about it for another week, pulled it back out, did the same ice bath thing, and it was perfectly edible the next day when we had a salad. Wow. I was like, hallelujah. She did not buy another head of lettuce that day. She decided to wait for a little bit of time until she knew she was actually going to use the lettuce. But it's little things like that. So if you do your research ahead of time and can answer some of these questions for your customers or give them tips or whatnot, it can help your future sales. Maybe they don't buy that day, but the next week they come back and they buy some more stuff from you. So something to keep in mind. Okay, so that concludes my talk. I'll go ahead and take questions now. Oh, perfect. I didn't have a clock in front of me, so I didn't know where I was with my time. But yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering if I'm assuming you have a cool room and a cold room?
No, I personally just have a cool room.
And what temperature do you keep it at?
As cold as I can get it. Generally speaking, in the summertime, it's going to be about 50, maybe 60 degrees, depending on if the sun's hitting it. But generally speaking, that's what it is. During the wintertime, it's generally getting down to about the 40s or so in there. Not your root crops, for sure. I mean, I have a friend just down the road from me. She tries to keep her cool room somewhere around like 38, 36 degrees. It varies, but she says, generally speaking, for whether it's greens, summer crops, root crops, it doesn't have any, there's no harm that comes to the crops from those temperatures. They will wilt. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
so,
that was my next question. When you're talking clamshells, do you use vented ones or sealed ones?
No, they're sealed. Clamshells are sealed. Okay. And with the point about the greens going into your cool room, I will go ahead and bag my greens. So I'll make my bundles of whatever green it is, and then I'll get a big plastic bag, toss them in there, tie off the top. I generally do it loose. I don't knot it like I'm never going to get in there again. And then I just toss it in the cool room, and it maintains that freshness until I'm going to market. Now, if I'm dealing with, you know, root crops or whatnot that are in bins, I'm not going to take them out of the bin, stick them in a bag, and then stick them back in the bin. That's way too much work, and ain't nobody got time for that. So I will take a plastic bag, and I will lay it on top of the bin, closing off the biggest opening for the bin. Now, yes, the bins are, can't think of the right word now, but they're holy. Yes, they're vented. But I'm not worried about those little side vents in there. The produce still does good. As long as I have that main opening covered, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that with lettuce. It's usually, in my opinion, it's better to have more of a crop than less of a crop. And sometimes your more of a crop comes due today instead of staggered. And so Dad got a really big stainless steel bowl for mixing microgreen mixes. And so I appropriated that bowl for a short period of time. And I filled it like halfway up with water. And then I threw every head of lettuce I could fit in there into that bowl. And it kept for over the weekend on into the next week when I had the markets for it. So, yes.
Now, in that situation, would you put plastic
over
it as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I don't want any of my greens to be exposed to that moving air inside the cool room. Because it's just like cold wind out in your field. It can be very detrimental to your crop. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely do that. You just have to remember you're growing outside. So it may decide to rain on you and whatnot, and you know you can't control that. But when you can, yes. Yeah, try to do that. Generally speaking, like you can just take a watering trough for livestock. Fill it up with cold water, ice, dunk them in there. Let them sit there. Usually, for me, it's like, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then pull them out, let them dry off, maybe shake them, and then go ahead and pack them away. It's especially with lettuce, with all those crinkly, frilly leaves, make sure that you get a lot of the water out of there. You don't want to bag that lettuce. And the next day at market, you have a half inch of water in the bottom of your bag. I had some friends that did that one time, and it was hilarious to watch them pulling the lettuce out of their cooler and dumping the water out of the lettuce bags before they stuck it out onto the table. Generally speaking, for me, if I know, I'm running short on time or whatnot, forget washing them.
Yeah.
Forget trying to get the field heat off. Generally, I'm trying to harvest, when it's cooler, but sometimes that doesn't happen either. And so, it is what it is. If your market is such that it can sustain, selling, all that you bring, for that amount, that's great. Maybe harvest a little bit less and then sell it. Sell it all. But yeah, stuff happens. So generally, I'll just try to cut out the entire step rather than either doing it halfway and forgetting or just not really doing a good job of it. Yeah, that's generally my staple crop during the summer. I've got my tomatoes and peppers, but okra and tomatoes are the two big ones. No, I will stick that in the cool room because my cool room in the summertime is generally somewhere 40 to 50, 55 degrees, and so, it can sustain that temperature. Generally speaking, for okra, I have found that it lasts me in the cool room about a week-ish, and then, yes, it starts to go soft. It may get some black spots on it, et cetera. And then I just toss it. So as with any other crop, you want to harvest it and then sell it as quickly as possible. Okay, well, that wraps us up for today. So thank you for coming.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.